In Parshas Noach, we find after the flood, Noach plants a vineyard and he gets a little bit drunk. He drinks some wine in his tent, and his sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafet, first Cham comes in, he notices his father is lying there nude. He comes out, tells his brothers. Pasuk relates, Vayikach Shem Vayefes as a simla v'yasimu al Shem Shnehem. So the other two brothers, Shem Vayefes, they come and put a garment on their shoulders and they walk backwards, v'yachulach harinit, v'yachasu es arves aviyam, and they cover up their father. So Rashi relates that it says Vayikach Shem Vayefes. Shem Vayefes are two people, plural. It should have said Vayikhu. So says Rashi, it teaches us limed al shem shenis ames b'mitzvah yoser miyefes. It's coming to teach us that shame put in more effort in the mitzvah than Yefes, his brother, did. That's why it says v'yikach in the singular, to point out that it was shame. V'yikach Yefes, he put in more effort than Yefes. L'chach zachu banav l'tali shel tzitzis. As a result, he was rewarded with the mitzvah tzitzis that we, the Jews who came from Shem, were later to receive. And Yefes, he also received the reward, but lesser reward, Zachali Kvura Labanav, that his sons would later be buried in a burial here in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Nassen Meir Vachvogel, Zatzal, the former Mashkiach of Lakewood, he doesn't understand this chazal that Rashi brings. The main question is, how do we see what was the effort that Shem put in more than Yefet? They both took the talis, carried it, and walked backward and put it on their father. What was the more effort that Shem put in more than Yefet over here? They basically did the exact same action. Another question, based on a midrash. The midrash says that after the flood, Abraham Avinu, he bumped into Shem, the son of Noah, and he asked him, how did you make it? How did you make it out alive, out of the flood? And Shem said, you know, it was the schus of the tztaka that we did while we were in the teva. As Chazal bring down that the Noah and his family, they were busy 24/7 feeding all the animals. Each animal had to be fed at a different time, at different things, and they're constantly busy doing the tztaka, feeding the animals. So Shem said to Avram Avinu, it was in this chus that we got out alive. So Abraham then made a kal vachomer. He says, wow. He says, all the more so that people have to do chesed with other human beings. If doing chesed with animals gave them such a big schus, all the more so, doing chesed with human beings is a bigger schus even. And therefore, Avraham made a point of being the epitome of chesed, and he opened up a hotel, Venata Eshel Beber Sheva. So, question is, why did Avraham Avinu, why is Dafka Avraham Avinu known as the Amud of Chesed? He's the pillar of Chesed. L'chora, he only learnt it from the Shem and family of Noah. So they should be the Amud of Chesed. They started it. Avraham only learned from them. And what's more, they did the Chesed even with animals. Whereas Avraham, the chesed came with people. It's easier to do chesed with people than with animals. So why are they dafka known, Avraham is known as Amud HaChesed and not they? The Madrega Sa'adam, the altar Minavardak, lived in the beginning of the 1900s. He discusses another Rashi in the Sedra, towards the beginning of the Sedra. Says that Ela told us Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya bedorasav. Noach was a tzaddik in his generation. So that was a famous chazal that Rashi brings down. Yesh mirabosenu dorshim oso lishvach. Some say that what does it mean Noach was a tzaddik in his generation? it's mashma that in his generation, but not only in his generation, and that was even in his generation, but surely if he was in a generation of tzaddikim, he would have been a greater tzaddik. Others, dorshim also lignai, they darshan it to his discredit, and they say, no, in his generation he was a tzaddik. But if he would have been in a generation of Avraham Avinu, then he wouldn't have been considered anything. So, different explanations of the drasha over here. And he says that you can understand it, that there's no real machlokas in the level of righteousness between Avraham and Noah. In other words, for example, let's say we put Avraham on a scale of 1 to 10, that he was 10. As far as being righteous goes. And Noach, he said, everybody would say, let's say he's on a level of 8. There's no machloikis. Those who darshan, l'shvach, l'ganai, everybody would hold that Avram was, let's say, a 10, and Noach was, let's say, an 8. So what are they arguing about? The question is, what pushed them? What was the driving force for them to be on each one on his level? Mashal, Lama Davar Domet. Let's say you have two people in an airplane, and they're both sitting in the first class section. Okay, there might be two people sitting there in first class, but there could be a world of a difference between the two. How so? You can have one person, he's there, because he's a very wealthy person, and he paid the tremendous price of to sit in first class. You can have another person there, he could be actually a not a very wealthy man whatsoever. So why is he sitting there? Perhaps he got bumped up, right? He had a regular economy class ticket, but they ran out of seats and they bumped him up to first class. In other words, you have two people sitting there first class, but there's a big difference. One's rich and one's not. One is in his essence, you know, a rich man. The other one is sitting in first class, but it's only because he got pushed up. So it reminds me, by the way, I heard an interesting lesson of Musa, that once Reuven Karelenstein, Shlita, he was on an airplane, and he sees the stairs going up. So he says, wonder where this leads to. So he walks up the staircase, and he sees beautiful, you know, seats, people, you know, sitting back. And so he was, wow, it's beautiful out here. So one of the stewards says to him, excuse me, sir, can I help you? So he says, yeah, it's great, it's beautiful up here. Well, what is this? He says, well, this is the first class section. He goes, wow, first class section. He says, I want to sit here. She says, you want to sit here? Well, this costs a lot of money to sit up here. He says, why? Well, how much does it cost? He says, $5,000 to $6,000. He says, yeah, I don't care. Money, I'll pay you for it. Just let me sit here. So the steward said to him, no, 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 no. He says, if you want to sit up here, he says, you have to pay down there. So he said, I learned a tremendous lesson in Musa. He says, the person wants to sit up here in Gan Eden, he says, you got to pay down there in Olam Hazeh. Anyways, so therefore Noach, that's the difference between Noach and Avram. Noach, he was, according to those that say, the Darshan L'Shvach, say that he himself worked on himself. And therefore, he was a tzaddik because he deserved to be. He worked on his midos, etc., his Yerushalayim, and he was a tzaddik intrinsically. And therefore, would he be in the door of Avram? He would even be a greater tzaddik because that's who he was, a person that worked on himself. Whereas, those who darshan L'Gnai, they would say no, that he was only a tzaddik because of his surroundings. When he saw the people were in such a low level, and to say the least, in the time of the Dora Mabel, these despicable people that he was living around, so he said, look, I can't be like him, you know, them, right? If I'm going to, you know, therefore I have to act like an extra tzaddik just to get by over here. Mashal amad avardom. The Chafetz Chaim used to like to say that there was a mikveh attendant. His name was Rabbi Yehuda. And the Chafetz Chaim went into the mikveh one day, and he says, Rabbi Yehuda, tell me. He says, is the mikveh warm? He says, yes, are you kidding? He says, see this big container of water, hot water? I poured it in. The mikveh should be fine. So he says, okay, great. So Chafetz Chaim goes in, and it's freezing cold. So he jumps out. He goes, Yehuda, what's going on? You said you put hot water in. He says, I did. I put half of this big container of hot water in the mikveh. So the Chafetz Chaim walks over to the container. He puts his hand in, and he feels that it's lukewarm. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda, listen. He says, if you put boiling hot water into the cold mikveh, then the mikveh in the end will be lukewarm. But if you put lukewarm water into a cold mikveh, you're not gonna. The mikveh is gonna end up as cold as it was. So, two, a lesson that if a person wants to get by and be at least somewhat warm, you have to put in extra effort and try to be boiling hot. Then you can hope at least to be warm. But if you just put a mediocre effort, so then it's very unlikely that you're going to even be warm. You're going to be ice cold. So too, this is what Noach realized, he felt, right? He said, look, if I don't put in the minimum, more than a minimum of effort over here, look at the people around me. So he wasn't intrinsically a tzaddik. He was a tzaddik, because look, I got to be. If I don't put in effort over here, what am I going to end up? I'm not even going to end up to be mediocre. So it wasn't intrinsic tzaddikus. I heard once, I once was Menachem Avil, someone, and it was a young Avreich, and he told the story of his grandfather. His grandfather made it to America in the time when, many years ago, time when it was very difficult for Yidden to keep Shabbos over here. And which happened to many Jews, they're bounced from one job to another. They worked for 6 days, came Shabbos, and they can't come in. They're fired, another job. So he said his grandfather's one such yid, and finally he found a job that was paid nicely, everything. And about Shabbos, he said, "Look, I can't work on Saturday." So the boss said, "Look, you don't have to actually work. What you have to do is come in and sit 2 hours in the office. That's all. You don't have to write. You don't have to, so to speak, mechallel Shabbos. But you have to come in on Shabbos and just sit in the office for 2 hours. That's all." So he said that his grandfather asked the Shilas Rav, "Well, what should I do? Should I take such a job? You know, in a time when jobs were precious." So the answer was given to him was that he could, but he's not chayiv to. Now, if he wants to, he could take the job, but he's not chayiv to take the job. So he said, my grandfather decided not to take the job. Why? Because he felt, look, fine, maybe it's okay. But he said, if you're going to live like a maybe it's okay life, then what happens is it starts like that. We said, you put the lukewarm water into the cold mikveh, in the end it's going to end up being cold. So one thing leads to another, it starts off with this 2 hours, no malacha, and then one thing leads to another. So he took it upon himself not to take this job, as big an assignment as it was. And in fact, he says that if you look at my grandfather's metzeva, his tombstone, it says on the tombstone, the two words, it says, Amad bin Isaiah, that he passed the test. So, too, again, that according to this opinion, at least, that Noach was a tzaddik, but he was only a tzaddik because of his surroundings, because where he came from. And therefore, if he would be in a door with Avram Avinu, then he wouldn't have to put in so much effort. He can, be taken and go along with the crowd. You know, Avram, the tzaddik Avram, wouldn't have to put in effort by himself. He wouldn't be the only tzaddik. Mamele, he wouldn't have. And therefore, that's why he is the darshan leganai, and say that he wouldn't have been such a tzaddik in another generation. Similar, it's brought down, Mashal, Dafka, again from the altar, the Vardak. He says, Mashal to Yeshiva Bachram during Beinu Zmanim. He says that Yeshiva can be likened to a train. He says, you're looking at a train when it's traveling. He says, while it's going along the tracks, he says, you can't tell just by looking at the train at this point which is the engine and which is just a regular car, one of the regular cars. Right? They're all moving fast along. So he says, when can you tell? He says, you can tell the difference when the train pulls into the station. It pulls into the station, and then they take apart the cars, right? Dismantles some of the cars. The car that moves after they dismantled, says that's the engine. He says so too. You know, a bacher during zman, everybody's going, everybody's learning, everybody's base mandrish. So you're getting schlepped along. He said that's like Noah, right? When he was with if he would be in the time of Avram Avinu, right? You get schlepped along. So, okay, that's not such a great tzaddik. He's a tzaddik because of everybody else. He says the real test is Bainah's money, when everybody goes home and the yeshiva is dismantled, so to speak. So then, the ones that are just sitting there doing nothing, so that's the regular regular coach. The one that moves, he's the engine. He moves even when the yeshiva is dismantled. So Maisa also brought down from Rav Shmuel Kowalski that Once, after Havdalah, on a Motzi Shabbos, he was walking in the streets and he bumped into a person. And he was asked, where are you going? So he says, oh, I'm going to look for a shidduch for my daughter. So the person looked at him and he knew who he was, knew his family. He says, you have a daughter that you're looking for a shidduch for? How old is she? So he said, she's 14. He says, you're looking for a shidduch for your daughter, 14? He says, yeah. He says, well, she's only 14 years old. He says, no, not for now. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, look. He says, I want a real masmid for a son-in-law. So what do I do? I know, okay, in a few years, 3-4 years, you know, she's going to be marriageable age. I don't want to wait till then. So I already now put out my eyes and look to see if I can find a masmi. So what's a masmi? A bacher that, again, not only during the hours of yeshiva when everybody's in and learning, that he's learning in the base medrash, a big deal. You know, not I want to see now, Motzei Shabbos, you know, everybody takes it easy, kicks back after Shabbos. So I want to find a bacher sitting in the yeshiva now. So I go, I find a bacher, and when I find someone like this, I keep my eyes open and follow him along, and I want to keep my tabs, you know, for a few years, and then when it gets to the time, I'll know that this is the bacher for my daughter, right? So too, again, that's there's being schlepped along and not being intrinsic tzaddik, or there's a tzaddik intrinsically. So now let's go back and answer therefore the question. So there's therefore the difference between Noach and Avraham. That Avraham, he was Dafka. We asked, why is he Dafka called the Amud HaChesed? He only learned from Noach, and the Noach even fed the animals. So in Achanami, but it's a big difference, we said, according to at least one of the opinions, that Avraham, he was intrinsically a tzaddik. Yes, he learned from Noach, etc., but he was a tzaddik intrinsically. Whereas Noach, he was only tzaddik because he realized the situation he was in and the people he was around, and he felt, look, I got no other choice. He was forced into it, so to speak. It's also Maisa of Kron brings down one of his svarim. There's a story of Rav Avraham Kalmanovitz, and he was Rosh Yeshiva in Mir, in America, and the time when during the Second World War, when there's a famous story of the Mir Yeshiva. They were in Poland, and they were trying to get out and make their way to Shanghai to get away from the clutches of the enemy. And Rav Kalmanovitz, he was in America at the time, and he was running around raising funds to cure passports for the whole yeshiva, etc. And there's a maisa that he was staying by this balabas in Baltimore. And he had a very important meeting the next day in Washington with the government in order to work out all the details of the passports, etc., for the yeshiva bacher. And the story goes that that night, the night before he had to make his way by train to to Washington, there was a big, big snowstorm in Baltimore. And it paralyzed the whole city. Nothing was moving. And that next morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Balabas heard somebody about leaving his house. So he says, well, what's going on? So he gets up and out of bed and he goes and he sees Rav Kalmanovitz and he says, walked out the door. So he runs over to him outside and he says, where are you going? He says, well, I have a meeting in Washington. He says, yeah, but that's not till tomorrow afternoon and your train's, at 9 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing at 4 o'clock in the morning leaving? So he says, well, you see, the city's paralyzed with the snow, and as you can see now, it's snowing still, storm. And I figured there's going to be no taxis going, and if I'm going to leave, at 8 o'clock, whatever, take a taxi to the train station, there's no taxis, everything is paralyzed. So I figure I'll get an early start and walk there, walk to the train station. So he said, he looking down, he sees that he wasn't even wearing boots. He's standing there in his shoes. He's about to hike a 4-hour hike in the snowstorm in order to get to the train station, so he should catch the train. So afterwards, he was asked. He said, "But what's the big rush?" Fine, even if let's say you would miss that train, so you can take the next train. So he explained based on this cedra. He said that another midrash recalls that Noach, when he was on the Teva, he came to the lion once, and he came a little bit late when he was serving the lion his meal. And the lion got angry, and he hit Noach in the leg, and as a result, he was limping out of the Teva. And so the question is asked, Rav Kalmanovitz said, what did Noach do so wrong? We mentioned before, 24/7 they were feeding the animals, nonstop. This animal needs this at this time, and this animal at this time. And okay, so he came a little bit late to serve the lion. What's the big deal? He had to be punished for that and come out limp? So he says, know what the answer is? He says, you're right. To feed an animal, okay, in the zoo, whatever, you come a little late, it's not a big deal. He says, but this was the last lion in the world. When you're dealing with the last lion in the world, so then if he dies, there's no more lions. So you got to be extra, extra careful. And if you're not careful, you're putting the whole species at stake. So too, he says, the Bachram and the Mir Yeshiva, these are Bachram later going to be the leader of the Torah generation, the leaders of the next generation. And if there's going to be Chas V'Shalom, no Yeshiva's Mir, then that's going to be and therefore you got to put in the effort, extra superhuman effort, save the yeshiva, just like Noah had to put the extra effort in saving the lion. So again, that Noah saw that, he felt that, and therefore he put in the effort. But it was only because of this situation, not because he was intrinsically holy. And that's also what Rashi actually says as well. It says, Es Elokim Yisalech Noach, Noach, and God walked with Noach. So Rashi says, Noach hayatzarich sad latamcho. As opposed to Avram Avinu, who is intrinsically Kodesh, Rashi says, Noach needed help, he needed support. He was a tzaddik, but he's only a tzaddik because of his surroundings. And now we can go back and answer the first question that we asked. And that was, what was the big deal? How was shame we said he put in more effort than Yefet, that's why he was rewarded with tzitzis. Well, what any more effort? They both walked with the talus and put it down. So it could be the hint is that yes, like we said, two people in first class, they look the same. No, not necessarily. One's intrinsically wealthy, one's bumped up. So do here. Two people putting down the talus, the same, not necessarily. The Torah is revealing to us that shame and chiefa, they were different. Right? They both did the same act. However, shame did it because he was intrinsically righteous, and he knew this was the right thing to do, etc. His brother, though, said, oh, yeah, good idea, and he followed along. He did it only because his brother did it. And therefore, that could be the Pshat and Rashi. He was mis'ameis yoiser b'mitzvah. He put his effort in more in the mitzvah. In other words, he did it because he saw that this is the right thing to do. Whereas his brother Yefin also did it, but he only did it because, look, my brother's doing it, so good idea, I'll join in. That's the difference between the two. And I was thinking that that it could be that that's why shame was given the reward of tzitzis, which was a reward in this world, and of course, keeping the mitzvah tzitzis, one gets rewarded in the next world as well, as we said. Whereas Yefet only got rewarded in this one. Could be because we learned from the Mishnah and Peah, we say this b'risa in the morning after Birkas HaTorah, things that a person is zocha to eat, to have the Karen, to eat the Paris in Olam Haba, and Karen Kayamas v'Olam Hazeh. Mishnah lists a number of different things, Bikur Cholim, and Achnasas Kala, etc. And the common denominator of all these things, as Mefarshim point out, are, these are all things which are Bein Adam L'Chavero, right? That a person puts in effort in his relationship to man and his fellow man. And in these things, a person gets reward not only in the next world, but also in this world as well. So thinking, it could be, so to hear, this is why Shem received the mitzvah of tzitzis, which has a reward in this world and the next, because he basically was doing a chesed of Bein Adam L'Chavero, because by him taking the initiative to put down the talis on his father, which caused his brother Yefet to do so as well, he did a chesed with his brother Yefet, that he schlepped him in also to the mitzvah. And as a result, he did a chesed, so he got rewarded in this world and the next. Therefore, we have to do our utmost in our observance of the Torah, and we should be like Avraham Avinu, who didn't need the sad l'tamcho, he didn't need a support, he was intrinsically holy. We should, of course, it's very nice to be influenced by others and join in for good things, that's also important. But beyond that, we should be see the importance of every mitzvah and use all our kochos to be intrinsically holy. And the Kosh Baruch Hu should see our efforts and crown us with the ultimate reward of the coming of Mashiach, Tzidkenu B'mhira V'yameinu.